This is the Ron Jaworski Show, live on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome to the Ron Jaworski Show, and we are coming to you live from the Valley Brick Country Club in beautiful Gloucester Township, New Jersey. Big crowd on hand, the Petrangelo family having fun in the corner. You need some food, you need some drink, whatever, we'll get the waitress right over there for you guys. Just having fun here tonight at Valley Brook. And tonight's show is sponsored by Bradford White Water Heaters, Carl Pinto, and all the fine people at Bradford White, built to be the very best. Thank you so much, Carl, and your great team. And, of course, Miller Lite, my favorite adult beverage. I want to thank Mark Kramer, Brendan Dalton for the support they've given us through the years. And you know why I like these sponsors? They're so active in the community. They get involved with community events, and their philanthropic side is just amazing. And I'm so thankful to have these guys as my partners here on the Ron Jaworski Show. And speaking of partners, this guy is really a great partner. We were teammates together. You know, he's a local guy from Interborough High School, St. Joe's. He was a walk-on to the Philadelphia Eagles. He was the original real Rocky. They made a movie after him, the legendary Vince Papale. Vince, great to have you on tonight.
It's great,
man.
Great to be here, Jaws. Thanks very much. Yeah. It's always great to be with you. And speaking of philanthropic, I got that word out.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Philanthropic.
That's that St. Joe's word, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, the Hawk will
never die. Interborough High School, that might be there.
Yeah, the Hawk will never die. I saw Liz, and I just could, before we start, I was just thinking of you. You think about philanthropy and what you've done with the Jaws Youth Foundation and making an impact on kids. And the other night we were there a couple weeks ago with Coach Vermeil, which was as cool as could be, right?
And the boys clubs and girls club.
And you know, these kids getting together. When you and Liz got up there and gave $80,000. $80,000 for these kids. To me, that's what it's all about. You know, you can have movies made about you. You can be a starting quarterback. You can be an all-pro. You can be wearing a Super Bowl ring. But when you make an impact on a kid, that to me, that's when you're a Hall of Famer. And what you guys have done in the community, and just, you know, all of it starting here at Valley Brook, Eagles Nest, for crying out loud, right? I got married at Eagles Nest.
Yeah.
27 years ago, and they said it could never happen.
Yeah. And you're still, and you guys are still hanging, man. It's great, man.
I'll
tell you what. It's awesome. But thank you for the kind words.
Yeah, man, it's all good.
But you know our era, you know, the Leonard Toast era,
right.
Jim Murray, Dick Vermeil. I mean, we had to be part of the community. It was kind of the fabric of the Philadelphia Eagles at the time. And with Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman, it's still the same. But you love the fact that, you know, we've made this our home. You know, but a lot of it came from the Dick Vermeils, the Leonard Toast, the Jim Murrays, the Jeffrey Lurie, who wants his guys living in town. Mm-hmm. I think it's great. And everyone seems to have their own foundation now, which I love. You know, I love what the guys are giving back to the community.
Well, it's nuts and bolts kinds of stuff. And when I first made the team in 76, Jim Murray grabbed me and he says, "You're going to go out Friday night. We're going to do this thing at the Zale House." And I go there and I said, "Well, what's the charity?" They said, "Oh, we've got this great charity." I had no idea what it was called. It was called the Eagles Fly for Leukemia.
Right.
Right, and I went to the Ale House, and there it was. It was a beef and beer, and I think they might have raised about $1,000. But the beautiful thing about it was Mr. Toast would match dollar for dollar every dollar that was raised every time we went out there. And then it was ingrained. And you know, when we were playing, on Mondays, after we would get done practice on Mondays and our film study, as bad as you were feeling, you'd go to Children's Hospital and visit with the kids.
Or on Tuesday, the day off, there was a commitment. And I know at that time, even... I'm not sure you could even do some of this stuff now, but it was in our contract, you know, that we had to make personal appearances to the hospitals and visit kids in the community. And, you know, they didn't have to put that in the contracts. I think we all would have done it anyway, but the Eagles felt that strongly about it. They made that part of their commitment to the community. Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk about the present day Eagles. Hey.
I was afraid. You know, I was just trying to draw it out.
No. Vinny, the Eagles are in first place in the NFC East. After four games, how great is that?
I tell you, hey. They should be 3-1, but it is what it is.
They should be 3-1. They should be 0-4.
Well, I'm the optimist, you know. Yeah, I'm the ultimate optimist.
I am too, but I root for the Eagles. I got my pom poms, but you know, you got to be a realist too. This team's got to play a lot better.
Oh,
we all
get
it. Now, since they played Sunday night, the 8 o'clock game on NBC. We had a chance to watch those the Washington football team, the New York Giants, and the Dallas Cowboys. My God, are they awful. My, no wonder we're 1-2-1 could lead a division. This used to be the pride of the National Football League, the NFC East. It is dreadful football right now. I mean, Eagles could go 5-10-1 and win a division and host a home game. I mean, it's crazy.
I know, it is sort of crazy when you think about it. Yeah, and you know, you look at it, it's just some of the, it's the mental errors, it's the, and of course, the fundamental errors. And I, you know, a lot of people could use as an excuse they weren't there for training camp. But I guess I would ask you, as the quarterback, how important it is for you to have your receivers and have everybody there, the timing down with them, and you know, just those preseason games. Before, when you were in a preseason game, you got some serious reps. Now it's a lot different in how they handle it, but still, you know, how important is it for somebody like, and that's so important right now, you know, with Carson, everybody's saying, well, you know, it's this, it's that, and it's the receivers, or it's this. You know, from your point of view, you know, and I think there was an allusion at one point to say, well, the timing's a little bit off. Is that how it is?
Absolutely. You mentioned kind of like old school football, our era, and it's different now. And not only, you know, the league rules have changed with the NFLPA via the collective bargaining agreement where you can't spend time in the offseason at the facility. You're so limited in time. The COVID impact with no training camp, no contact, no preseason games. It certainly has set the passing game. Well, I shouldn't say that. It set a lot of teams' passing games back a little bit because you watch this league right now. It's like arena football or flag football. I mean, you get a couple stops, you're going to win the game. The teams are going up and down the field. But you mentioned what we did in the offseason. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, be down at Veterans Stadium, 2 hours in the morning, you know, just running routes, getting our timing down, that chemistry that is so important. When Vince Papale ran a route, and Harold Carmichael would run a route, and Charlie Smith would run a route, and Keith Kreftley would run a route, everyone ran the same route differently. Mm-hmm. They ran the same route, 10 yards breakout, differently. Mm-hmm. And people think I'm probably crazy. But you gave a different hint or indicator than Harold did. Mm-hmm. And Harold gave a different hint or indicator than Charlie Smith. You may flip your head back, pick your arm up. And by seeing that thousands of times, mm-hmm. I just threw 36,000 balls in the offseason. You know what it was like down there.
Yeah, my hands are still sore from about a couple thousand of them. Jesus.
And that's how you develop that timing, that rhythm.
You're right.
And that's gone this year. There's none of that. So I can understand Carson being off a little bit early and the timing not being there. He was better last week, but this is still not a team with a great rhythm right now. You got, you know, pretty much all the wide receivers are backup guys mm-hmm. playing. Greg Ward is your go-to guy right now. I think Deshaun will come back this week, and that'll be an advantage. Who knows with Alshon when he'll come back. But clearly that chemistry just isn't there right now. And you know how important that is.
Oh, yeah, that chemistry. Chemistry and any kind of thing that they've got going. And also with the offensive line and all the injuries they've had. You know, last year when they won the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, the big mantra was next man up. You know, next man up. Who's going to replace the guy up? It's like, you know, it's like the Navy SEAL kind of a thing. You know, the point man goes down. It's just the next man up. Right now, it's next man up. And,
And
you know, guys who are rugby players are now starting. And I mean, it's got to be from an offensive point of view. You're there. It's almost like when I was playing semi-pro ball. You know, you didn't even know the guy was next to you that we're playing against. You know, I was playing for the Aston Knights, for crying out loud. The way I look at it, I was sort of, you know, how could I put this game that they won the other night in perspective? I was thinking of my dad when he was repairing one of his Pontiacs. And this is no reflection, and it's no denigration of anybody on the Eagles team, but, you know, to put it in a project point of view where I grew up, it's like the coach went into the junkyard, and he picked up all these parts, he put it together, and he got the car out on the street, and they wound up winning the drag race, you know, and they got it together for there, you know. And to me, it's a credit to Doug and his coaching, and that he's been able to keep this thing together. But, man, oh, man, wouldn't it be nice just to have some sort of a fluid kind of a week where you don't have the injuries to worry about? And the COVID.
Or the COVID.
Right. I mean, you know, I mean, that's a whole nother perspective. And, you know, I'm just listening, coming in. There's a couple more guys, you know, know, they, how they're going to get through this. I don't know how they're going to get through this season.
Oh, they'll get through it. There's too much at stake for the National Football League, and people still need football. We still need that release. There's so much negativity politically and everything else going on right now. I think people can at least enjoy a Sunday afternoon or a Sunday evening or a Monday evening, at least getting away from the grind of COVID and the elections and everyone taking sides on everything. Can't we just get along, you know?
That's a great song. Just get along.
Yeah. But you mentioned, you know, this Eagles team and how Doug has kept it together. But, you know, I got to be honest. That was a gift-wrapped game Sunday night. Nick Mullins was absolutely atrocious, the quarterback for the 49ers. He missed guys. The high school players hit on a regular basis. He missed guys, threw bad interceptions. I don't know if he had – is he one-eyed, blind? And I'm watching these throws, and I'm going, this is the National Football League. Where are you throwing these? Second play of the game, he's got Juszczyk open by 15 yards with 50 yards of open field in front of him, and he overthrows him by 10 yards. And it was funny, like, Juszczyk turned around like, yo, dude, yo, there's no one near me, and you missed me, you know? So the Eagles got that one gift wrapped, and not to say some guys didn't play well, and you did mention, you know, the offensive line. And Jordan Mailata, you know, I watched him very closely. You know, obviously getting a guy in his first start, not only in the National Football League, ever, mm-hmm. ever in football. This guy played rugby his whole life. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden his first start. And thank goodness for the Eagles that Bosa wasn't available. It may have been a little different story. But so I'm watching Mailata, and God, solid, man. Yeah. He's 6'8", 340 pounds. And I'm thinking, okay, one of these speed rushers going to come and blow by him. Didn't happen. All of a sudden, Monday, I get the tape. I look at the tape, watch every snap of Jordan. Did a really nice job. I'd like to see him do a little better job in the run blocking. He was great in pass protection. Awesome feet, strong punch, the good hands we all talk
That's
about.
That's exactly what I was thinking about. You know what I was thinking about? I was thinking about Stan Walters, for crying out loud.
Yeah,
because
Dancing
you know,
Bear, Stan.
He had those long arms, you know, it protected your
an all-time all-pro.
How about that? But, you know, he's such a great athlete. He's a smart kid, and it looks like he picked it up pretty well. And, you know, God bless him, man. Thank God for him. But
Well, it took him 3 years. I got to give, you know, the whole Eagle organization. I mean, you take a little risk on taking a guy that never played football before. And say, hey, you know, Jeff Stoutland, here, make this guy a starting player. And Jeff has a great reputation. He's a terrific coach. And he did it, man. He did it.
The best.
But I'm as the game's going on, I'm looking, all of a sudden Eagles break the huddle. I'm looking, where are those guys? I see Lane Johnson's not in there. Brandon Brooks isn't there. Samano's not in there. Holy cow. Jason Peters is in there. The only guy there is Jason Kelce. It's like, people are wondering, like, why then did Doug have Carson moving a lot? Well, wouldn't you want to move too when you those guys are introducing themselves in the huddle? You're down to your backups of the backups in that huddle. And I thought Carson did what he had to do in that game.
Do you think he's moving better now, moving with a little bit more confidence now? A little bit quicker in his reaction and taking off. I thought in a couple of the games there, it was incredible how he broke loose and then, you know, just nothing available for him.
Well, you know, I love the read option. You get down there at the goal line. By the way, Mailata had a great block. He crushed that whole right side of the 49ers defensive line down, and Carson walked in. And I'm pretty, you know, I've always felt this way. I do not want my quarterback having to run. Take the running opportunities when they're there. He's getting hit. He's getting hit again. And you know what happens when you get hit? You're going to get hurt. And that's what his problem is. I like availability sometimes more than ability. Now, I can understand this game. You know, you got new guys, and he mm-hmm. took the opportunities. But it's a 16-game schedule. And all of a sudden, you're putting yourself in harm's way that many times. And I respect the hell out of the guy that's doing it. I do. I think he's tough. And even when he was playing poorly at the quarterback position, he was still tough. He was still grinding it out. He was mm-hmm. diving for first down, diving for touchdowns. Right. I love the heart that he has. And eventually, sometimes, you know, you get hit. And you know, you got hit probably a lot, you know, in special teams. And sometimes, you know, you get out there and you're kind of going through the motions. But you get that first whack, man, all of a sudden, it's time. Let's go. And I think he's kind of one of those guys. Once he gets hit, all of a sudden, the adrenaline starts to flow again and gets them going in the game.
Yeah, you could just see. I thought as the game was going on, and I could just see a little bit more confidence in him, and he made a couple really beautiful throws. But you know what the great thing is the defense. Everybody's been saying the defense, they've been putting a lot of pressure on some of these quarterbacks. They didn't come up with the ball, and they finally came up with a big play when they really, really needed it. And it gave us a little cushion right there. You know, still a nail biter at the end. Where the heck was I watching the game? I was watching the game somewhere, not in Philadelphia. Oh, I was watching the game down in Manassas.
Nice.
Virginia, for crying out loud. Yeah, I played a little golf on Monday.
You play a lot of golf, by the way. I think you play every Ron Jaworski golf course about every other week.
And
you and Jeremiah Trotter, the guys I see every week on the golf course.
but you know, I was screaming in my hotel room and they're thinking, who's that nut there? Thank God there was nobody in the hotel, for crying out loud. But, you know, the defense came up with a play. Special teams haven't made any mistakes, haven't turned the ball over. Great punt when they needed a great punt toward the end of the game to change field, to change the field position and tilt the field a little bit in our favor, you know, and who's nut squad? You gotta love the special teams, but then you got Pittsburgh coming up, and then they're going to have fans. Oh, they're going to have fans.
Hey, Vinny.
Yeah. Human bodies in the stands.
By the way, to our listening audience, you're listening to the Ron Jaworski Show with my very special guest, Vince Papale, invincible himself. And at 6:30, we're going to be joined by Merrill Hodge, who's obviously a former Pittsburgh Steeler, and I want his insight because, you know, Merrill still has a terrible towel hanging out of his pocket. He's got Steeler underwear on all the time. You know, and I can do that because Merrill and I worked together for like 18 years at ESPN. So
we have
a lot of fun. And Merrill just, you know, he loves the Steelers like we love the Eagles. You know, it'll be good banter because Merrill, like myself, we watch that tape every week. You know, the good from the bad, from the indifferent. And I actually like that it's the Steelers this week because you can't overlook anybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and it's the Steelers. We were talking about COVID earlier, and they get a break. They didn't have to play Tennessee last week, and that would have been a violent physical game because that's how the Titans play. That's pretty much how the Steelers play, and there would have been some body bruises coming in that game.
Mm-hmm.
But now they come in, they're getting healthy, they're getting fresh. All those good things are happening for the Steelers. But I look forward to a game like this. You got Big Ben. And this is where we could talk about this Eagle defense. Big Ben's not going to play like Nick Mullins. You just know that.
Right.
This year alone, 7 touchdowns, 1 interception, completing 67% of his passes, over 7 yards per attempt. He's already found his rhythm again after missing most of last season. So this is the game, Vinny. We talk about that defensive line. You talk about the linebackers. You talk about the safeties. You talk about the corners. They must show up for this game. This is the one that's going to be meaningful later in the season.
Well, you better show up for every game. I don't care what it is, you know, because every game, as far as I'm concerned, is a trap game. You know, if you want to think that you're going to be able to take any game easy in the NFL,
did you hear me talking about those games I watched between the Cowboys, the Washington football team, the New York Giants?
Yeah.
You think someone's going to take them lightly?
No.
No.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't take anybody lightly. You're looking at it from my perspective.
I'm just trying to tease you, Vinny. I'm trying to get you to overload a little bit. Yeah, don't worry about that. It's an NFL team, but they were awful this last week. I can't say it any other way.
Yeah, but
did you watch that Dallas defense?
Yeah, it was
gave up over 300 yards rushing. There was a great stat I read earlier today. Seattle had over 180. Cleveland had over 180 yards rushing before contact. Before contact.
No.
So that means they were not holes, not alleys. They were gaping holes that they were running through. Over 180 yards rushing before contact. Over 300 in the game. You tell me that's defense in the National Football League?
And who's making the contact? The safeties?
Well, it has to be the safeties. Yeah. You're that far downfield.
Are you serious?
Yeah,
who comes up with stats like that? Is that the next Jaws? Next Jaws generation? Like next gen?
We got next gen. We got ESPN stats and information. You got Pro Football Focus. And I use a lot of these because Chris Collingsworth's a good friend of mine. And Chris is one of the owners of Pro Football Focus. So when I talk to Chris, he talks about the staff that he has. And he's actually got staffs of coaches, former NFL coaches, former NFL players. So when they get the tape, they break it down. So it's not like some slappy that's down the corner. Hey, Papale may look good in that game. No, these guys are football coaches, former players, and they grade like they would a player after a game, pluses, minuses. So you kind of get a pretty good idea. You know, I get those grades and I look at them. And sometimes they're close, sometimes they're way off, at least in my opinion. That's why I kind of would rather look at it myself and give people my own grade. And I'll give you an example. I thought Rodney McLeod had a hell of a game against San Francisco. I mean, he was firing his gun, man. He was attacking the running game, and he was making all kinds of plays. I get the grades, and he had a very good grade. I'm going, this ain't right. That guy played his butt off, man, and they can't give him a D grade.
Well, maybe it's based on pure statistics instead of the pure emotion of a guy that's played the game before that knows the heart and what it takes to be out there all the time and some of the reads that he's got to do and coming off the ball and doing whatever he has to do. But McLeod, I think he's done a pretty good job back there, you know. And, you know, it's going to be a game on Sunday, and, you know, they're going to have fans out there.
Like 5,000, right? Yeah, 5,000 with a terrible towel in their hand.
Do you think they'll allow fans? They're going to give us a week to figure out whether or not we're going to have fans at our game for...
You mean Eagles game?
Yeah.
Don't even get me started. Don't even get me.
I need a tailgate.
If I start giving you my true feelings, I'll get myself in trouble because it's a lot of craziness.
I don't want that to happen. It's
a lot of craziness. I can get myself in trouble, anytime I want. But I can't understand, all this stuff that restaurants 25% and no people at games. And I get it, man. I'm in that age where I got to worry about everything, as both of us are. You know, I got grandkids. I got all that. So I worry about everything. But sometimes I just wonder, what is going on? What is going on?
Just again, come down to Florida. Yeah, that's where I'm
just
at.
Just go down to Florida. Then again, I get it when players get it and games are canceled. And, you know, who knows what's going to happen. But, hey, I was telling them, just be safe. Do what you got to do. Wear your mask. But I think you'll wear a mask in the stadium. Stay social distance, and you should be fine. But. I won't get into it, Vinny. All right, everyone, you're listening to the Ron Jaworski Show with my very special guest, Mr. Invincible Vince Papale. After this break, Vince is going to join me, as will Merrill Hodge, a great Pittsburgh Steeler running back, to break down those Pittsburgh Steelers, the Birds' opponent, Sunday at Pittsburgh. We'll be right back.
This is the Ron Jaworski Show, live on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic. Now back to the Ron Jaworski Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Nice crowd on hand here at the Valley Brook Country Club. Open to public, by the way. We're in the pavilion right by the first hole. People just coming off the 18th tee. Golf is hot right now, Benny. A lot of people playing golf right now. Oh, man.
Do you have to wear a mask playing golf?
No.
No, you don't?
You got like 5 acres of social distancing, Vinny. You don't need a mask when you're out there.
I thought you had to put a mask on between swings. I'd have played without a face mask back in the day. You know that. Me and my boy Tommy McDonald.
Yeah, you guys were crazy. Who's nuts? That's Vinny's group. Hey, Vinny, how about this? So take advantage of our Buy Now, Play Now memberships at all 7 of my golf courses. You'll love this. If you purchase today, you get 15 months. What a deal.
That's the best deal.
What a deal. Pay for 12, you get 15, you come out here and play tomorrow. Play all week. It's be beautiful all weekend. The weather is like my stock market. You know, if we got a nice day, I know I'll make some Miller Lite money. You'll make your Corona money. We'll be all right, Vinny. But thank you so much. I do want to thank the guys from Miller Lite. Awesome dudes, man. They are the best. And also Carl Pinto and all the people over at Bradford White Water Heaters. They're supportive of this show. Vinny, you are the man. I got to make sure we check in with my guys. We got Merrill Hodge on here yet? Do we have Merrill? All right, I got to bring my guy in here, Vinny, because Merrill and I work together. I lose track. It's been so many years. I know my hair was a different color when Merrill and I started working together, and he's such a big time Steeler fan. You know, he believes in the running game. We are total opposites. I believe in the pass game, and I love the Eagles. So we would go at it every single week, literally every single day at the morning shows on ESPN. But this guy truly is one of my dear friends in the world. And he's a special person like you are, Vinny. See, I'm setting you up, Haji. Setting you up, man. I know you're going to come in and trash my Eagles right now. So I'm trying to be kind. So welcome to the Factor Back, Merrill Hodge. Yeah.
Now let me clarify a few things. I just believe in telling the truth. Jaws believes in running for mayor. That's the whole difference when it comes down to this.
I don't want to be a mayor nowadays.
That is true.
But Haji, you got to tell me this. I know how much you watch all the games and love the games. This game is crazy now. It's arena football. You get a stop, you're going to win. You know, teams are putting up the Dallas Cowboys defense. I don't know if you caught any of that game this week. We were just talking about that. They gave up over 300 yards on the ground, 180 yards before contact. Does anyone play defense anymore? They're throwing a ball, slinging all over the lot, as you would call it, chuck and duck, man. But that's what people are doing right now.
Well, I got to be honest with you, Josh. It was interesting. Like, week one, when I went through all of the tape, there was one thing that stood out. And it's actually, you know, it started with the Washington-Philly game. It was just the teams that had really good trench play were teams that won games. And then if you wanted to be one side that was really magnified is the people who had good offensive line play, which is true in all of football. You and I know that. When you watch the Super Bowl at the end of the day, we're like, oh, you could have given the MVP award to probably somebody in the trenches.
Yep.
But offensive line play was just so glaringly obvious when teams won or they lost. And, you know, now when you look at the teams, the good teams, is I use the word team. It isn't that they have the best offense or the best defense. They have a good combination of things. And if you don't have that combination right now, you can run into a matchup like you had with Cleveland and Dallas, you know. But the trench play, for whatever reason, I don't know, in 25 years of doing this, I've ever seen such an ebb and flow of it, you know, just like really bad and just really, really good. You know, I just haven't seen that discrepancy in it. And it's gotten a little better, but it's still there. You know, with the teams struggling, it's still there.
Let me flip this script then to your Pittsburgh Steeler team. And, you know, I believe they got a nice break last week coming into this Eagle game by not playing the Tennessee Titans, who are a violent, physical team. Steelers get a chance to freshen up, get healthy. And they have a fierce pass rush. Fierce pass rush. And this Eagle offensive line, you got, you know, Mailata started at left tackle last week. This is the first game this young man's ever started in his life in football. He's a rugby player. Did a good job, by the way, Haji. Did a good job. Right. Love that.
Yeah,
but, man.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, so then you look and Lane Johnson goes out, and the only really consistent player that you could say was part of that Eagles offensive line was Jason Kelce. So when you look at literally one out of five, you know, and the rest of the guys are introducing themselves in the huddle, you know, it makes it pretty tough. And then you look at his Steeler defense, and you know the Steelers and Tomlin. I mean, that's where Pittsburgh's always hung their hat on the defensive side of the football. And that 3-4 defense, those edge rushers, and you know, you have those guys right now. Yet, you know, T.J. Watt. We ever hear about J.J. Watt? T.J. Watt is obviously an amazing playmaker. So, you know, Bud Dupree, one of the best in the business. You got pass rushers now. How do the Eagles handle them?
Well, you know, it's going to be a daunting challenge for them, Jaws. And it's not that just handling the guys you mentioned. For your listeners, the thing that's hard in football that the NFL does, that really no other level does, just because you don't have the time, and you really probably don't have, really just don't have the time to invest in teaching this. But it's how they go about their alignments and their schemes that will be the problem. You see, listen, if you got five guys that need to work as one, which is how an offensive line needs to work, right, and the five guys we block are just lined up and we know there's four down guys and we pick the middle linebacker and that's who we're going to block. Okay, that's easy, but that's not what they're going to get on Sunday. They're going to count their five guys, and then before the snap, those five guys are going to probably stand up and move and shuffle themselves around, and numbers are going to get confusing and lost, and that's the problem. That's what I think the Steelers, they did it. That's really how they shut down Barkley. I mean, it's not just in the passing game, it's in the running game too, which is a big problem for teams that, you know, that's why I wanted to see the Tennessee game, because their run blitzes are so good. The different fronts they line up, how they stem the stuff, how they stunt the stuff, how they run blitz things. I mean, to see and react to that as a group that's well-oiled is a challenge. People that are just lining up together for the first time, it's really almost an impossible task. And see, I think that's where this game is won and lost. It'll be hard for any seasoned offensive lineman to handle it. But now a bunch of guys who haven't really worked together, happen to see things together with a defense that moves all over, that's going to be the challenge in this one. It's not can they block them. It's can they identify where they are and who they're supposed to block will be their biggest challenge.
Yeah, that's always a problem when you play the Steelers. The what you see is not necessarily what you're going to get at the snap.
Right.
And I used to always use the term, you know, from our matchup show days, you got to rent space in the quarterback or the offensive line's mind. You know, and it's not always the physical part of it that gets them. It's, you know, the preparedness all week long, studying the tape. Because what you see pre-snap, you're not going to get that post-snap. Mm. So this is what I always say. When you play the Steelers defense, it has to be one of those where you're spending a lot of extra time in your film study, because coaches can win or lose games offensively when you play the Pittsburgh Steelers by not having your guys prepared for what they do. So let me switch this around. Go ahead.
No, I just said you're right, Josh. I mean, and then, you know, the back is included in that too. Your quarterback's included in that. The way Carson has played the last few weeks, you know, that is not characteristic of Carson from college and through his NFL career. You know that, and I know that. You know, people are ripping Carson. Well, and I'm going to say this, okay, you listen, has he missed? You listen, I watched Carson Wentz miss a hot, okay? I don't know if I've ever seen Carson Wentz miss a hot where two people come up the side, he doesn't see it, and they destroy the play. But, see, that's what happens when, you know, you just can't trust things, and, you know, you're constantly under pressure and you're constantly under duress. It's like walking through the front door of your home and getting hit by a 2x4. Now, you might not flinch, you know, after one time, but you get hit every time you walk through that front door by a 2x4. Number one, you start flinching, or two, you don't go through the front door anymore.
And that has a 2x4 when you walk into the front door, Haji.
I'm just using it so you guys understand what I'm talking about. But you can see when you talk about renting a space in a quarterback's mind, rent is permanently there. He is. You can tell that there's no trust there. You know. Now, is there any evidence for him to have trust? Absolutely not. You know, and you know those things are just there. That's a daunting task to work through. You know, as a team. When you're struggling in that manner is when you can't trust things and you're not sure of things. And then therefore that's why he tries to escape so much, you know, and sometimes prematurely just because he's been hit so much.
No question. I mean, this Eagle team has had 8 starters out. 8.
Yeah.
You know, it's unheard of. It's unheard of if one or two is you're going, oh, you know, the walls are caving in. You got 8 starters have been out for this team. Try to hold that together. And who gets the blame? Quarterback. Quarterback gets too much credit when they win and all the blame when they lose. And, I will defend Carson to the hilt, but I will also be honest when I say he made some bad throws in those early games that really hurt him. The interceptions were inaccurate throws, and you can't turn the football over. We can recite the stats till the cows come home. You turn the football over, you're going to lose. You're plus one or better, you're going to win 80% of your games. 80%. And with Papali here, what do we hear from Coach Ramil every single time?
Turn that ball over, get 100 yards rushing.
And get 100, right. 40 carries and 100 yards. Yeah. He didn't care how many yards you got. If we run the ball 40 times, we're going to win.
Yeah, he had that stats guy from UCLA. He would put that big chart up there. Bud Goody, that's who it was, one of the first guys. Hey, Merle, what's up? It's Vince. How you doing, buddy?
Man, it's always good to hear your voice, my friend.
Yeah, it's always great to be hanging out with Jaws. I have a question to ask you because you were talking about the offensive line, and Jaws was saying that those line guys, they were introducing each other. They were coming into the huddle, you know, and I sort of went through that same thing when I was playing semi-pro football. How much of a factor do you think not having training camp has had in the game right now, and especially in these situations that you've seen with the games we were just talking about, with just not being able to be in a position to make those adjustments at game speed with a preseason game or something like that, or is the preseason overrated? Let's just start with the regular season.
Well, I watched that very closely, and here's what I found out. The teams that have had the same philosophy and been around and playing together for a long time have had no real issues. But people who have had new learning and new people and a new coaching staff have struggled. And so, you know, when you go back into training camp, when they had training camp, and when you hear about training camp's too long, where do you hear that from? You hear that squawk box comes out of teams that have been around playing the same system. They're doing the same thing. You don't hear that from a new coach, a new system, new learning. You just don't hear that because they do need it. But when you look at all of the teams that have had some type of new learning, whether it's a brand new quarterback, it's a new coach, it's a new offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, an entire new staff, you do see it. You do see it. It's very evident. And the teams that have been playing together for a long time, same system, a lot of the same people, you just don't see it. You don't see it with that. So there's your value in training camp. Is it needed? Well, sure, because there's always going to be teams like that. You know, and you might be one of those teams. You may not need it for 5 years, but one day down the road, you're going to need it. And that's really been evidence. I've watched tape the teams that have had those things. Yes, they look disarrayed. They're out of sync in a lot of ways. And
Week one, Eagles go to Washington. I got this as kind of a lock for the Eagles. You got Doug Peterson, Super Bowl winning coach, veteran team together against Ron Rivera, entire new staff, entire new system. I figured this is a rout. Well, it didn't work out that way. It goes to show you the National Football League, if you ever for 1 second take anyone for granted, I will never say the Eagles took them for granted, but you're just kind of thinking, okay, just what you talked about, new coaching staff, new learning process, it's going to take some time. Well, the Eagles turned the ball over, they played a terrible game, and what do? You lose. You lose. That's what we all love about the National Football League. You just never know.
Speaking of terrible, we were talking about the terrible towel. Is it true you have a terrible towel right now in your back pocket?
No doubt he does. No doubt. And I'll bet he's wearing his Steeler underwear, too.
Are your ears bleeding right now after that lambasting?
I actually had a terrible towel painted on my truck, and I'm about ready to get the towel,
baby. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, Haji's always so busy. He's doing 100 things. He's been a dear friend. It's hard to catch up with him. He's doing so much. And just like you, Vinny, you know, Merrill's got kids who are dear to him, and he loves them. Vinny was telling me, Haji, you'll love this. He's doing a podcast with his son and his daughter. Now, that's pretty cool.
Vinny's a little busy.
His son is trying to get in the NFL, going to trial camp, I guess, in a couple months, whenever the one down in San Antonio.
He's flying out in San Antonio. It's called the Spring Football League. And it's a month out there in San Antonio, and they're going to have six teams and four games, and be pretty interesting. A bunch of scouts will be there, so it's a good showcase for him. But the podcast is my daughter Gabriella, who was an athlete, went to Syracuse, and we're going to have this thing called Gabbing with Invincible, no pun intended, all puns intended, actually, all puns intended. You know, so we're going to have a good time going after that. So that'll be fun, you know, and maybe we'll be able to get Merle Hodge as one of our guests. We already have you lined up, Charles.
Vince, I'd love it. My son heard it when you went and spoke at BYU. It was still one of the moments in his career that really stand out. So your message, and I'm sure that podcast will resonate like that. So I will be a listener and be a guest anytime.
I appreciate that.
Appreciates that plug. Vinny is like, try to get Vinny. He's traveling over the country giving his motivational speeches, although it's been a little slow right now.
I'm doing them all in the garage.
I'm so happy for you, Vince, and Merrill. I've been with Merrill a few times for some of his presentations, and both you guys are A-plus, man. I'd go see you anytime and get motivated by you guys. You guys get it right, man. You get it right. And both of you guys have overcome so much in your lives. That's what makes it so special when you make a presentation from the heart. All right, Haji, speaking of heart, the heart and soul of a football team, the heartbeat is the quarterback, as we all know, Merrill. Quarterback is the man. Big Ben is back. I know you and him go hunting all the time. Did he lose any weight since you guys are out in the mountains, or is he ready to go?
Well, Josh, here's one time I'm just going to play along with you because it's the truth. Because I'm going to tell you this: when number seven lines up, that is just a different team. I go to a lot of practices, and he doesn't practice on Fridays. Oh, not Fridays. I think it's Wednesday. He doesn't practice. And when you watch them practice, it is like, okay, that's just an average team. And then seven walks in, and it's like, wow, the team just changed. So you are right. He, I thought he had his best half of football actually against the Texans in the second half. That you could start to see the rust starting to come off.
Right.
Of him. You know, now there's this, you know, everybody's going, oh, there's a bye week, derail that rust. I'm like, okay, well, listen. Pros don't sit there and whine and complain. Yeah, good pros don't. Okay, good leadership doesn't do this. You don't sit there and whine and complain about this being a bye, which you didn't plan on it. You're like, it's a bye, we get ready for the Eagles on Tuesday, and that's the way we plan it. Okay, and that's the focus, and that's the way we go about it. So I don't think that, listen, they're still going to be rough. He's still going to be knocking stuff off, but the end of the second half against the Texans was his best half so far. You can see the rust starting to come off. He made some throws across his body, arm-wise, decisions. There was at the end of the game, was 3rd and 9. He threw an alert out to Claypool that they got down to the 2-yard line. And credit to Claypool for being alert. The corner was 9 yards off. They had everybody in the box, and they're like, we're not going to – I'm going to take that shot. You know what I mean? Just, he was sharp mentally. He did a lot of things throwing the football that – if there was any ever doubt with anybody that, you know, can he throw like he used to? Oh, boy. I mean, he made some throws. And even I'm sure as a player, you have to establish that confidence. I believe that is there now. So I would expect him to continue to play, you know, at a really high level. And he has a certain energy about him. You know, you talked about us going hunting. The mountains that we were in Salmon, Idaho, I'm going to tell you this, Josh. People talked about, is he in shape? You cannot walk those mountains and hike those mountains and not be in shape. And we, and James Washington came with us. Okay, James Washington came out of the mountains with him, and James Washington was more beat up than Ben was. And so, I mean, it's you have to be in shape to do that. And that was, you know, months ago. You know, he's in fabulous shape. But you know, the part about him that I think I'm happy for him is that he really has a peace and an energy about him that I think was rekindled when he sat out for a year. Now, you know, you take your career, and even I've always thought in my career, like if you could ever get a year off, like year 7 or 8, you know, and just have a chance to, you know, get rebooted. I'm like, man, that would be ideal. Now, granted, you have to get hurt to do that. And I think
or play poorly and get benched. And you don't want to do that.
Right? Well, you're right. You're right. I just thought, that's why I thought being redshirting at a certain time, you know, and this is not true across with everybody, but when you get to the NFL, if you can get like a chance to recover for an entire year, like he did, I think it just came at the right time for him. For not just physically, the jaws, but mentally, spiritually, the whole thing.
Yep.
Like, there's just a different energy about him and a focus that I have not seen because you played a long time. You know, that's hard to play a long time. And to stay at a high level, that's hard. And to get that energy rebooted at that particular time was, I just think, ends up being a godsend for him. It looks tragic when it happens. I think it ends up being the best thing, one of the best things that happens in his career.
Well, in Philadelphia, we're not hoping that he rekindles that, that drive on Sunday. All right, it's time, Haji. I got to put your feet to the fire on this show. In the last couple minutes, we make our predictions. I kind of get a feeling which way you might be going on this.
Yeah, well, Josh, I'll be honest with you. I just think the Eagles have so many problems on their offensive line that it's just too big of a bit. This is not the right team to face to get those things corrected. And they do so many things up front that get to you in the passing game and the running game. Then they have problems on the back end at times in the secondary that are, you know, have not been able to be fixed yet. You know, it doesn't mean they can't. You never underestimate a professional because they're always working to get better. But just when you look at the overall team and the way that all the different phases that they're playing, the Steelers are just playing better in so many different phases than the Eagles are right now. I mean, I think the Steelers, you know, clearly win. I think they win by 7 or 10.
Oh, all right. Well, we figured that, but I didn't think you'd have to spread that high. Vinny, you know, what do you think? You got your Delaware Blue Hen shirt on here because of your son, Vinny.
Yeah.
But now you got to pick the Eagles-Steeler game.
Well, you know, one bird of another feather, I guess, you know. You got to fly, Eagles fly. What are we thinking here? I can't think the Eagles are going to lose the game, for crying out loud. And I like our advantage in the kicking game and our kicker, so I'm going to say the Eagles by 3.
All right, I guess I got to put my feet to the fire here. Since I had the Eagles losing last week to the San Francisco 49ers, and they won. I'm going to try that strategy this week and pick the Steelers 24-16. Haji, I know you're going to love that. He's gonna laugh. Thank God we're not doing the NFL matchup show now. He'd be taking all kinds of shots at me. All right, Merrill Hodge, you are the best factor back. Thank you so much.
Brother.
All right, love you, man. Vinny Papale, love you guys.
Good to
Next
see you,
week, we'll be out at the Downingtown Country Club with one of the greatest, head coach Dick Vermeil. Downtown, man, down at Downingtown. And oh, by the way, a happy 27th birthday to number 7 with the Eagles. Nate Sudfeld is celebrating his birthday. Way to go, Nate. Happy birthday, my friend. That'll do it for the Ron Jaworski Show. And we'll be back next week from the Downingtown Country Club. Be safe, everyone.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.